6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Wednesday, March 30th, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Thank you so much for joining us, homeschool moms, homeschoolers, 4-H'ers, everybody out there doing all sorts of agricultural stuff. Hey, guess what? We're not just talking about stuff to benefit you. We're talking about stuff to benefit the universe. However, the beauty about the Power Hour is we're here to educate and inform because knowledge is power. And knowledge also can mean survival given everything that's going on right now. We have been reporting that Sri Lanka has, they're in a world hurt right now. Literally, they've got shortages of fuel, food, other stuff, utilities. I mean, it's bad. And there's protests, rioting in the streets. Not a good thing. This is one of the reasons why we have Marjorie Wildcraft on the show is because we take your phone calls, questions. We know you have them. The number's 844-769-2944. And I hate to say this, but if you have not started at least planning your plot, I'm already looking at enclosed raised bed gardens because of the chemtrails I see all over the sky. That stuff is raining crap down on our food. We are going to ingest that. Not a good thing. Glyphosate and God knows what else. And, of course, you know, I'm planning right now because I'm in the middle of construction down here where we are. And simultaneously, I have to start planning, and you need to, too. So we're going to be talking about that all hour long. And if you have questions, we want to get them answered. And there's no better authority than Marjorie Wildcraft. She's here. The number is 844-769-2944. I want to see those phones light up this hour, folks, because I know you got questions and I know you want to get stuff done. And we've got the authority right here. Marjorie, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Hey, thanks for having me back on. Yeah. Oh, my God. Did you see that clip of Biden, Joe Biden? I mean, I know Sri Lanka's got its, I mean, it's falling apart everywhere, but Joe Biden was just publicly saying, you know, because we kind of feel comfortable here in the U.S. I mean, yeah, okay, some shelves are going a little bare here and there, but we kind of always got something, right? And even Joe Biden is going, look, this food crisis is real, and it's going to be here, too. It's definitely hitting Europe. It's definitely hitting all the third world nations. It's coming here to the United States. So even Biden is warning everybody that there's going to be a food crisis. Yeah.
See, and I don't even know that was part of the teleprompter, Marjorie, you know, because a lot of times he says stuff that's totally off the cuff that's not in the script.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But that actually is part of the script. If you recall, the 2015 food chain reaction was a simulation of just exactly the situation that we're in now, where, you know, the price of food keeps getting more and more. There's all kinds of weather conditions. Countries start to nationalize. Supply chains break down. The price of food increases by 40% in the first year, which was last year, and it did increase by that much. And then this year it increases by 100% and 100% each year thereafter. That simulation did not include the effects of inflation, which is actually going to have the price of food skyrocketing way beyond 100% even this year. So we are in a really, really big world of hurt, and really you need to start growing your own food right now.
No doubt. And so this is one of the reasons, folks, we've got the phone lines open, 844-769-2944. I had a few questions, too, off the cuff, and some of you may be thinking what I'm going to be asking. And this will spur other ideas and thought processes. You may have issues where you are and you see the store shelves emptying out of a particular product that may have to do with supply chain issues because of what is going on here with the price of fuel. And they're going to pass that along to consumers. Right now, grocery stores, and I know this from having worked in a full-time job when I was going through college at a grocery store, stocking shelves at night, and I can tell you right now, they make 3 cents profit off every dollar spent in the grocery store. And inflation, they have to pass those costs to you because they've still got to continue to maintain the outlet. And the problem is when the store shelves start to really empty out and people start noticing this, things get crazy in the store and people begin to fight over product. If you think that I am joking, I sat out in front of a store. It was a Sam's Club in Port Charlotte, Florida, watching two guys in each other's face fighting over a bloody parking space. So you can imagine, once it gets into the store itself, people, I've seen videos of people hair pulling, punching, and everything to get at the last of the products. And then we're not talking about a run on toilet paper here, because it's got nothing to do with what we're talking about, which is your ability to survive. And one of the ways that we can do it, and this is difficult because many of you don't have access to a lot of the stuff that Germany is finding itself in a shortage of. One of them is fertilizer, right, Marjorie?
Yes, yeah. They've also just recently made an announcement that they're not going to be able to supply eggs. Like as of next month, the Germans are going to have very, very extreme difficulty just getting basic eggs. They've killed off a lot of their flocks due to a quote-unquote bird flu, and that's a thing that's been sweeping a lot of the UK as well as to some extent here in the United States. So it's a government program. Of course.
Oh.
Yeah, right? You know? You're right on about the price of oil. Food is oil. And if people think about it, everything from all the tractors that, you know, till the ground, plant the seeds, even the various fertilizers or pesticides they use are all derived from oils or petroleum products. Then, of course, to the harvesting, the drying, they use natural gas a lot of times to dry all the grains and things, to processing, to transportation, packaging, you know, that plastic wrap is basically petroleum product, to get it to your plate. And oil is food for the vast majority of people. At the price now, I was just checking, let's see, Brent crude is at $112 per barrel. And we learned in the 2008-2010 era, when the price of oil gets to $140 a barrel, the global economy shuts down. It just shuts down because people can't afford anything. And we will see massive amounts of more business destruction with this. Because, you know, the landscapers, right? The delivery people, you know, anybody who uses a lot of fuel are the private garbage collectors and things. You know, if you're using a lot of fuel in your business, you just are not going to be able to afford to be in business that much longer. People who live, when I saw it, I was living out in rural Texas at the time, 2008-2010 era, and we saw the countryside drained of people. There were a lot of people that were living out there because it was an inexpensive commute into Austin, right? But when the cost of gas doubles, and now it's like $4 or $5 a gallon all over the place, it's no longer an inexpensive commute into the town, right? So they just said, you know, forget this. I'm going to go get an apartment in town. It'll be cheaper. People were drained out of the countryside. So I think we'll also see, you know, mass mini migrations to that effect.
Well, it's even worse. Even worse than that. I mean, right now, several outlets are reporting that starting Friday, Russia is only going to accept rubles, gold, or Bitcoin as payment for energy exports to unfriendly countries. No dollars or euros are going to be accepted. And of course, you know, the Western financial system is basically screwing Putin, so he's screwing back. And you can't use dollars or euros to purchase anything as a result. You know, that's what he wants, to buy anything. The ruble is now backed by commodities export. And, of course, the dollar isn't. Rubles have a future. The dollar does not. And I think they're doing it to devalue the dollar to get back at Biden's stupid policies. And now look at Germany's going to suffer even worse because of this.
It is absolutely going to devalue the dollar because, I mean, wouldn't you want a currency where you can, it's at least backed by gold, whereas the currency of the United States is backed by nothing, you know? Yeah, yep. I think that's going to be hugely, hugely disruptive. I saw some of those sources, and I'm still doing some of the fact-checking. Some of the other things they did say in that article, which I really want to know about, is that there are countries that are unpegging to the U.S. dollar. So I read that Indonesia is unpegging from the U.S. dollar, and the euro is unpegging from the U.S. dollar. That means these currencies know that the U.S. dollar is about to lose so much value, they don't want to be hitched to that wagon anymore. So we could, and what that means to us here in the United States is, you know, while we have what's in the pipeline now for the next month or two, it'll be fairly stable, but everything after that is just going to get way more expensive because the dollar is going to lose so much value.
Hyperinflation.
Yeah, we definitely. I think the last time I was on, I had talked about, and you can see these charts on the internet. I'm not the only one who has done it, where you overlay the M1 money supply. The Fed stopped releasing it sometime in 2021, but it's, you can still see the charts with the money printing supply in Weimar, Germany. And you can see a very direct correlation. And, you know, it's one of those exponential curves. You know, they kind of low for a long time, and then suddenly there's that, what they call the knee, where it starts to turn up, and then it just, it skyrockets. And in Weimar, Germany, it was just, it all happens in a matter of months. Like, it just goes from a beer costing 1,000 marks to costing 1 billion marks. It happens within just a few months. I mean, it just burns up. But the period of going from when a beer costs, you know, 1 to 10 marks is kind of slow. And then from 10 marks to 100 marks, it's starting to pick up. And then when it goes from 100 marks to 1,000 marks, it's like that's when everybody's starting to figure it out. And we are just entering that corner of the chart. So, you know, within the next 2 months, it's going to be abundantly apparent to everybody that prices are increasing. They will continue to increase. It's never going to stop. You better spend your money on whatever you can. And that is when the panic buying and the mass hoarding and the people who suddenly want to be preppers become preppers really begins in earnest and then pushes up the markets even higher. Another thing that the government will do is say, oh, we can't, you know, price controls, which only causes even more scarcity. So we, now is the time. I'm really encouraging everybody to go buy as much backup food as you possibly can and start learning to grow your own food, because this is going to be multi years. You know, I think it'll take most of the decade for all of this damage to continue to be done, and then whatever systems we rebuild. But this is a long process we're here in, and you're not going to survive it if you're not growing your own food, quite honestly.
No, I can see that. And so, you know, when it comes to growing food, this is one of the things, folks, the most important thing in growing food, and I'm going to ask a couple of questions about greenhouses, because I'm building my own. I'm not buying one of the kits. I've got excess lumber here. I've got steel insulated panels that I can make a U-shaped compost bed with, or a soil bed, and have a compost pile in one section and basically growing soil in the rest, and I'm going to cover all that up. And use whatever material I can. Some of it's going to be shaded. Some of it's going to be sunny. How much, you say basically as long as you have enough sun, the space of 3 parking car lengths and widths, is this what we're talking about? Like, what is it, 32 square feet? Is that what we're talking about here? Give us a visual.
You know, a parking spot is going to be about, what, 10 feet wide by, you know, 20 feet long, so 200 square feet. I mean,
right.
You know, that you can, you know, 2 garden beds that are 100 square feet per bed, that are a total of 100 square feet of garden bed space, which means you really do need about 200 square feet because, you know, you need rooms for access and paths and things like that, right?
Sure.
But I have successfully grown, even in Colorado where we only had one growing season, I grew all the produce that I needed in that garden bed of 100 square feet. And then I recommend, and again, a flock of chickens, 6 chickens, a little, you know, you'll get about 1,500 eggs a year out of that. And again, you know, your chicken coop and your run really can fit in about the size of a parking spot. I'm sure you've seen lots of cooked chicken coops. You know, they don't take up a lot of room. You want to give them a lot to be comfortable, but, you know, it doesn't need a lot. And then I also really recommend a home rabbitry, which again is only about the size of a parking spot, and that would be a buck and 3 breeding does, and you get, you know, 75 to 85 rabbits a year out of that. You know, if you have more space, it's definitely better.
How much is sunlight? How much sunlight do you actually need? Does it have to be all sun in all of that area, that 200 square feet or whatever it is that we're talking about, those who have it available? Does it all have to be sun? Can it be part shade? I mean, you can't just put a greenhouse in the middle of a shaded area, expect to get anywhere, can you?
Yeah, no, you're not. Now, if you've got a lot of heavy and deep shade, you should focus on just raising your animals in that, and that's all you're going to do is raise animals. Your typical garden vegetable is going to need about 6 hours of sun a day, and it would like more, most of them. Regarding shade, in Texas, we had a really nice greenhouse, and we get too much sun. Texas had an abundance of sun. So we would put up a shade cloth over the greenhouse starting in late spring and keep that up there until early fall and then take it off in early fall. So we, you know, that was a part of our farm routine, was to take off and on the shade cloth. You know, it just depends on where you are. More sunlight is usually better. It's, Texas got so dang hot. That's, you know, that was part of the reason we had the shade going on there.
And it would stay up there the entire time, the entire summer it would stay up, even though, I mean, the plants would still survive or still thrive. It was basically because of the direct heat that you were having issues, and that's why you had to use a shade cloth in the first place. There's a lot of people out there that don't know anything about why you would have shade cloth and that certain crops function better in shade or partial shade than they do in sun. I mean, this is a whole horticulture, agriculture, this is a whole different mindset for a lot of people that just have never done this stuff before, and then to be facing a challenge like this. I mean, this is one of the reasons why you started the Grow Network, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Now, that was because we were in Texas, right? And, like, I lived through a Texas summer where we had 100 days over 100 degrees, right? That's why we had some shade cloth over things. But, for example, when I was growing in Colorado, you know, we wouldn't even think about shade because the sunlight was beautiful and the temperatures never got too hot, maybe sometimes mid-90s, and the plants were super comfortable the whole time. Also, for some plants that like a little bit of shade or need a little bit of shade, you don't even necessarily need to have shade cloth because you can grow other plants that shade them. One of the most traditional ways to grow crops together is called a three sisters garden. Now you do need a little bit more room for this, but you would grow a small patch of corn, and then what you would do is you'd also plant beans around it, and the beans would use the corn stalk as a scaffolding to grow up, and then you would plant squash underneath it, and the squash are big broadleaf plants that just grow all over the bottom, and it would help with weed suppression. And so the three all got along pretty well, and it's called a three sisters garden, and it produced really well. It's a good system. The idea, though, also was that the corn would provide a little bit of shade for the squash leaves, which didn't necessarily want as much direct sunlight. I've also sometimes just grown small trees for, like, moringa. If you're in the south or the southern areas, it's just a short, you know, you can grow it, and then it'll die back in the wintertime, and it just makes a nice dappled shade that I could grow other things on, so I would actually have, like, a living shade cloth. There's so many wonderful, you're absolutely right. It is a little bit overwhelming for people with all the different things that you can do. And that's why I really try to dial it down into very simple systems. And I really recommend people start first off with that 100 square foot garden, a flock of backyard chickens, the 6 laying hens, and then a small rabbitry, and implement one. You know, like, chickens are often the first to be implemented, because, you know, you can build the coop over a couple of weekends, you know, buy the laying hens. By the way, I do recommend buying laying hens at laying age, which is going to be about 5 or 6 months old.
That's about 20 bucks a piece,
so much,
right?
Yeah, you know, it sounds so fun to raise them up from chicks to being laying hens, and it is really fun, and if you got kids, it's a great homeschooling project, but right now you don't have time for that, and the skills and materials that you need in order to raise chicks to fully grown chickens is different from just having laying hens. So I recommend just buy laying hens, you know, look on Craigslist, go to your local, you know, tractor supply type place, you can just ask around if you hear any chickens growing, you know.
Yeah.
I've done that. Pick up some hanging. Yeah.
Most of those, though, Marjorie, they only sell chicks. They're not selling the full-grown laying hens. I find more of them on Craigslist and various farm suppliers. They generally have them. The feed and seed companies have contacts for it. That's another place that I go. The thing is we're all right now in the process of starting to set that up. And, folks, this is the reason she's saying getting full-laying hens. Time is not on our side here. Raising full chicks, besides the money and the time it takes, you need food product to start coming out now, to start, you know, selling eggs to neighbors and putting that money aside. We've had a caller just call in and ask what people can do who live in a city with no yard, but they have a small deck. I tried that stuff too, and it's called vertical gardening. Is that right, or is there some other technique that you recommend?
No, you're right on. You know, vertical gardening. You can go up. I had a friend of mine who had a sliding glass door out onto a patio, and she had that thing covered with cucumbers on the inside, right? And then she had other plants out in the front on the patio that were lower growing plants and tomatoes and different things. So absolutely. There's a lot of other things that you can do that you might not. Here's some out-of-the-box things like mushrooms. You can grow mushrooms in an apartment or a condominium. You know, they grow indoors. You grow them in a closet. Quail are a possible livestock that you could keep, and they produce eggs and then occasionally quail meat. Definitely herbs and greens, you know, definitely sprouts. You can do a lot with sprouts, and that's pretty satisfying. That only takes, you know, about a week to start having a bunch of sprouts, right? And it's not a whole lot of calories, but it's a bunch of nutrition, which you're going to need, and enzymes. So it's really good. The other thing, start a community garden. You know, if you don't have land, go start a community garden right now. And I promise you, you will get all the support you need from the community because everybody wants these. So it's not going to be a problem.
Well, here's another thing too, Marjorie. You get that also. If you find somebody that's got an empty lot somewhere, go to the land records, find out what they're going to do with the lot, and ask them if you can grow and cultivate on that lot and lease that land from them. It could be a nearby neighbor's lot. And literally, if it's fenced up and you can tell them that you'll help improvement, maintain the soil, and you'll have healthy soil, you know, they might go for that as well. One of the things, though, because of the fact we're coming up to the break, Marjorie, you were saying in continuing that thought process of one of the other things you can do. And we're going to get right back to that as soon as we're done with the break. Because we are coming up to the break. We're going to be talking about, hold that thought, Marjorie, because I want to get to that. And we're also going to be talking about composting because that's something, again, not a lot of you have the info on. You're going to get it in our next half hour segment. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall.
When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Urban Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Calf, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Pure Lisi, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Orega Rest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Wednesday, March 30th, 2022. This is your lucky day because we have Marjorie Wildcraft on the phone with us. We're talking about better soil equaling better harvest. And of course, you know, there is some sort of a compost and soil fertility toolkit that you've been working on, right, Marjorie?
Yes, that's true. I really recommend people go to the Power Hour Food, though, for the webinar that we have on how to grow food, and I think you and I can do the, maybe we'll do the soil and compost thing next time we get together.
Sure, and that would be neat. Now, yeah. There's something coming up in Bastrop, Texas you were talking about during the break. Explain what that
is. Yeah, I'm going to this. It's going to be really fun. It's called the Exit and Build Land Summit. This is the second year they're doing it. It's May 13th through the 15th in Bastrop, Texas. Bastrop, which is a little bit east of Austin. If you happen to go there, I would love to meet up with you. I'm considering this as like a big reunion of all kinds of friends. So Joel Salatin will be there. Paul Wheaton, he's kind of a nut. Diane Leaf Crichton, and she's the woman who wrote that whole book about creating a life together and eco-villages. Looks like Jack Spierko will be there. Whoa, Marjorie Wildcraft will be there. Joel Skousen, the guy who wrote the
Strategic Relocation.
Yeah, he's awesome. Stephen Brooks, a bunch of people that have already, Mark Frazier, he's a founder of Startup Societies. So a whole bunch of people who are talking about, you know, how to create community, how to grow food. They're all gathering there, and I'm going. I'm just going because it's going to be so much fun to meet up with everybody. I haven't hung out with Joel Salatin for years since we used to do the Mother Earth News Circuit together. So, yeah, come on out. It'll be fun. The Exit and Build Land Summit, too. So I hope you come, babe. You got to come out.
Well, you know, the thing is I've been scheduled to speak at one of the Clay Clark's Reawakening Tour events, Reawaken America Tour events in Myrtle Beach that weekend. So if we get in on the 15th soon enough, because I'm not sure if we're going to be able to get a late flight out or not. If I don't know how late you're going on the 15th, but that might be the only day I have accessible.
Yeah. You know, I think it's so great that people are meeting again and that this is coalescing and people connecting. And there's so much urgency and focus that is so refreshing. And we absolutely need that right now. It's happening. It's happening. They were like ankle deep into what is going to be something up to your neck of change, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, the thing is that, you know, people, as far as composting, obviously, if we can create some sort of a 3-foot by 3-foot box, that would be a start with a lid on it.
Yeah. You know,
how
just
much compost
throw
can you get out of something like that?
Well, you got to work it, and it's astonishing how much volume you put in there, and then it just eventually turns into really nice compost. And so you're going to want to have a bunch of browns nearby, and that's going to be your shredded newspapers, your leaves, your hay or whatever. And then just, you know, throw some of that on the bottom. And then whenever you have some what we call the greens, which is going to be your vegetable scraps or your coffee grounds or, you know, miscellaneous random stuff, you throw that in there and then cover it with a bit of the browns so that way you don't attract flies or anything. And just keep doing that, layering it. Maybe you spritz it with a little bit of water from time to time. If you want to accelerate it, you can get in there and turn it over, but I'm a lazy composter. I never turn my compost over.
Well, we have a lot of cedar mulch here, so I'm not sure just how that plays other than keeping the bugs away.
You know, that cedar mulch is going to have a hard time composting because cedar is notoriously famous for taking a long time. It's a great mulch for paths and stuff because it takes a long time to break down. And it does have some weed inhibition. Yeah. But, you know, we were talking before the break on what to do if you don't have a lot of land. And first of all, I'd recommend if you're in a dense urban area right now, get out. Just get out right now while you can. I know you know somebody somewhere else. I know there's somewhere you've always wanted to live. You know, New York City, Los Angeles, San Francisco, you know, it's crazy. Just get out. Find some other place to be. But there's a lot of other things that you can do. You know, let's say you are somewhere else and we were talking before the break. There is a group, there's several websites and the one that comes to mind now is called Shared Earth, where homeowners say, hey, I have a backyard. Maybe they're elderly and they can't work it, but they would love to have somebody come grow food there and then you can work out with them whatever the arrangement is. You know, just grow food. There's ways to connect up with other people that do have land. And then, you know, I moved to Puerto Rico about a little over 2 years ago, and it turned out every place I lived, I didn't have a yard, and I was like, I'm growing food, I don't care. And there was a public passageway to the beach, and I just got a pickaxe and staked off a little, you know, 8-foot by 10-foot area, and I just turned it into a garden and started growing there on this thing. We call it guerrilla gardening. And I just started growing food out on this public passageway. Ron Finley in Los Angeles is also famous for that. There was a strip of dirt on the sidewalk, and he just started growing food there. Initially, the city of Los Angeles gave him a really hard time about it, and then they said, oh, wait a minute, actually, this is a really good idea. You keep doing that. But what was really fun about the strip in Puerto Rico is I started looking around, and I noticed that there were some trees that had clearly been intentionally planted, and there was this bucket. It's kind of a ratty old bucket, but it had a piece of rope on it. And I thought, I don't think that's garbage. And sure enough, they were using this bucket to pull some water out of a nearby creek to water these trees. And it turned out there was a guy who was doing a guerrilla food forest. He was planting all these food trees in the same public land that I had decided to grow a garden in. And we met up and we were like best friends. I was like, oh wow, you're using this land for this too? And he's like, yeah, and you're doing that. And like, it's amazing. So you'd be surprised what you can meet and what you can do out there. Yeah, I successfully grew squashes and tomatoes and basil and mint and, you know, a few things like that. It was, I just really like to always be growing, right? So.
No doubt. And so you have to, if you're going to find this 10 by 10 or 10 by 20 area you're talking about, does it have to be level? Can it be kind of on a slope so you can get drainage?
Yeah, you can definitely work with, as long as the slope's not too much. In fact, that actually can work. If you're living in a very heavy rainy area, that can work to your advantage to where you're, you know, you don't have to worry about drainage, right? And you can also do a little bit, I mean, it's only a small area. You can do a little bit of land contouring there to, you know, have it suit your needs. So, yeah, there's a lot you can do. I do go over the basic strategies for all of this at the, at that webinar that we're offering at powerhourfood.com. Also, since I know you love compost, and I'm so glad you do, because that is the key to everything. When you sign up at powerhourfood.com, we also give you a sign-up bonus of it doesn't cost anything, so it's not like a bonus. Hey, what is a bonus on a free thing? But anyway, there's a really funny movie about composting that my friend David the Good did, and we offer, you know, we give that to you. And I love the tagline for that movie. It's like, how to compost everything, even your enemies.
Like, okay. See, that's a novel idea. Believe it or not, yeah, this is something, and now folks, that is not a joke, what Marjorie just said. This is an option that people can do when they're dead and they don't want to be buried. You could compost them. I am dead serious. I saw that, and I'm like, you got to be kidding.
I mean, Dave's got such a great – see, all you Daves, you have such a great sense of humor, right?
Oh, my.
Funny.
I mean, sometimes these are better than Irish humor, which I get. My wife is Irish, and so I get inundated with a lot of Irish humor here. So the thing is that composting, seriously, is the way to get the best soil to help you overcome the garbage that you've had to put up with from all these chemtrails and the stuff that's overhead. If you can contain that compost and keep it isolated to where, you know, the air can't get at it, and then you cultivate this stuff. And this is what this toolkit, apparently there is a toolkit with all of these experts on it, that you click on a link at the grownetwork.com, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I tell you what, head over to the Power Hour Food, and we will get you connected up with all of that there. Yeah, but you're absolutely right about being interested in having good soil, because when you have good soil, you're going to have less insect problems, because the plants are healthy, and insects are the predator of the plant kingdom. And when your plants have all the minerals and vitality they need, they're way much stronger against whatever pest is going to bother them. The other thing is your soil will retain water better in a lot of areas. Drought is a concern. I mean, everywhere that drought at some point or another is a concern, is having soil that's really got a lot of good, rich organic matter in it. It holds water better, and water conservation is a big issue. And it also makes it easier on you. You don't have to constantly be tending it all the time. So having good soil is the key. Plus, all that food you're creating, where does the nutrition come from? It ultimately comes from the soil, right? So you want to have really good soil. The cool thing that's super empowering about compost is that your homemade compost is going to be infinitely better than anything you can buy at the, you know, wherever, you know, box stores or even at the organic nurseries. And here's the reason why, is when you're getting that compost, a lot of what you're wanting is a whole diversity of microorganisms. And microorganisms are going to grow based on what food sources are there. And your homemade compost, you're going to be throwing in your banana peels and your coffee and your, you know, the ends from the broccoli and, you know, maybe that old wool sweater and, you know, just random, you know, food scraps. The commercial compost often only has a few ingredients in it, and so it's going to have a much more limited microorganism culture. It's kind of like your gut bacteria. If you only ate one or two foods, your gut bacteria only needs to have a certain level of complexity. But your homemade compost is going to have so much more food sources and so much more diversity in there. It's going to be bursting with so many more microorganisms as well as so many more minerals and nutrients that it's broken down from the different sources you brought. It's going to be infinitely better than anything you can buy. So it's an amazing stuff.
Well, let's talk about the chickens, too, because you've got chickens, and if you've got six chickens, six hens a-laying, if you've got that going on, you have more microorganisms to put in the soil vis-a-vis their chicken poop.
Absolutely. I mean, that is part of the whole circular nature of this three-component system, is that, you know, what the chickens offer you is incredible compost material and fertility, right? You know, so their poop, you know, you put underneath their laying underneath their racks where they're perching at night, and you put some hay underneath there and capture that poop, and boom, those are the two ingredients you need for a compost pile right there. You got greens and browns, right? Also, rabbits produce pellets. And I have visited quite a few different rabbitries, and even smaller commercial-scale rabbitries are still pretty small, like maybe 100 rabbits or 50 rabbits. And they are selling, of course, they're selling some of the babies for the 4-H thing, and then some for Easter. They raise some for meat, and then they also sell the pelts. But you know what really, really makes a commercial rabbitry profitable? Like the one thing that, like, they really make a lot of money on? And that is they collect the rabbit pellets and put it in worm bins and grow worms. And not only do they sell the worms, but the worm compost that gets created from that is really, really, really a great fertilizer. And that is the single most important product in a home rabbitry that makes them profitable.
You should have seen the you should have seen the look on my wife's face when you talked about rabbit poop and having to put your hands in it. Now there's money in it. That's an interesting thing. You know, we don't want to kill those poor little rabbits. You know, I guess you would if you had to. They taste like chicken.
Pardon me. What about the chickens?
Do the rabbits taste like chicken?
Yeah, they do. Actually, there's a little bit of a rabbit taste. No, they're not gamey, especially because you're going to feed them good stuff, and what you feed things often dictates what they taste like, you know, obviously, right? No, they don't. And in fact, I've often served rabbit to people that were visiting, and I forgot to tell them that, and they just assumed it was chickens. You know, rabbit enchiladas, rabbit stew, rabbit stir fry. I find it very, very delicious, and it does not have a hugely, it's not like goat or lamb that has a very distinctive taste. It's much more milder than that. Yes, and I know, like, butchering is not at all my favorite activity ever, right? And I was actually a vegan when I started this journey. But the honesty is that rabbits, the meat products and animal products are so much more productive in a small space and with a small amount of time, than plants. So your 100 square foot garden will yield, I don't know, 30 to 60,000 calories a year, depending on how many growing seasons you have. Your laying hens, with your 6 laying hens and your 1,500 eggs, that's going to be about 94,000 calories a year. A home rabbitry with a buck and 3 breeding does that are producing about 75 bunnies a year, that's about 230,000 calories. So it's, you know, about 70 rabbits a year or 75 rabbits a year is equivalent to having a chicken and a half a week for your family to eat. And it turns out, if you do the math, it's the protein requirements for a family of four. So they're hugely, hugely, I mean, they breed like rabbits. You know?
Well, yeah, see, that's the one thing. You took the words right out of my mouth, because this is where the saying humping like rabbits came from. Because if you've ever seen and had a rabbitry, which we did, we must have had 100 rabbits in that thing under a 20-by-40 shed. And these little critters, I'm telling you, they go at it. And you know that mating is going on, because you hear those bucks squeal like a banshee when the big thing happens.
It's pretty dramatic. Yeah, they like go up on their back legs and fall over. It's really like, oh my goodness, yep, that was that happened.
Yeah, I wonder how many bunnies you're going to get out of that. See, and here's the thing: when this fertilizer shortage, and it's going to start happening. If you really don't believe us, folks, go to your local hardware store or your, I'm going to have to drop Home Depot and Lowe's and all that, because they sell the stuff, your feed and farm supplies. Go there and look at the price of fertilizer. And then think about what Marjorie's telling you right now is a way to save money and actually make money selling this stuff cheaper than you can buy it in the store, folks. Here's a great way to make money.
It really is true. Yeah, I had a guy who's a friend of mine. This is 2012. I was living in Oregon for a while. I wanted to experience that growing region. And I met this guy with his home garden. Of course, anybody who has a garden, I'm always like, hey, hi, you know, can I talk to you? And he showed me, he had like a, you know, I don't know what it was, like a 20-gallon trough that you normally have as a watering trough. And he had it filled with all kinds of compost and leaves and worms. And the worm leachate that would come out of that, it's, you know, he had a drain, of course, at one end, and he would collect that stuff. And he collected it, and he'd get a 5-gallon bucket of this, a 5-gallon canister full of this worm leachate. And back when the iPhone 4 was like raging, I was brand new, you know, Steve Jobs had just done his thing. He traded a 5-gallon bucket of this worm leachate for an iPhone 4. So, you know, now I don't know what the equivalent would be, but it was like amazing how much he was making from that. So, you know, it really could be a profitable side business. And you're absolutely right about the fertilizer. Ukraine, obviously a war-torn country now, is not going to be planting. There are a lot of American farmers are not going to be planting because the price of fertilizer has gone up. The price of Roundup, right, the glyphosate, has also gone up. It's gone up by about 225% in the last few years. So, I mean, I have a love-hate relationship with that. I don't think they should be using it. But the fact it's gone up that much means farming is no longer going to be profitable. So we are going to see less and less and less production this year. And you're absolutely right. I did go to Home Depot with a friend, and she got to the fertilizer section before I did and bought the last four bags of the organic fertilizer. I'm like, dang, you didn't save me any.
This is what I'm talking about, Marjorie. This is the kind of stuff, and this is going to happen in the grocery stores. It's not just Home Depot at the fertilizer section, but it's the grocery stores, because people are starting to get an understanding about what's really going on here. I think a lot of people just are not taking this as seriously as we'd like.
They will soon enough, though. So I saw a very, very, very good economic analysis where this guy was showing that when the official inflation rate gets to about 8.5% is when it's going to be abundantly clear to everybody that we're into this, like we're into inflation and hyperinflation, and the end game is currency collapse. And last month, the February numbers were 7.9%. And the March numbers are coming out on April 12th, and I am just on pins and needles to see what those numbers are going to be. But we are very, very, very close to the end game here. So you should absolutely be starting to figure out how to grow food, absolutely be buying backup food supplies, buy up whatever supplies you possibly can, get out of U.S. dollars, and prepare for this big transition.
No doubt. And see, that's something that right now I think all of us, especially the ones that are out in the country, definitely are thinking about, more forward thinking than not. 844-769-2944. We have 5 minutes left in this program. That means you only have 5 minutes left to pick up your phone and call our toll-free number if you have a question that Marjorie Wildcraft definitely is the number one authority to work this out. I mean, she networks with a lot of different people, and she's been doing this for years. So this is an opportunity. If you've got any questions about setting this stuff up, I love community gardening, frankly. I think the Mennonites had it right. And I remember when I was driving through Pennsylvania Dutch country and Amish country, and you would sometimes drive by the Mennonite farms on the way out there outside Philadelphia, and you could see all these greenhouses, like 10 of them out there. And they literally would be required to go out there and maintenance what's inside of these 10 greenhouses. And we're talking about massive pipe with the plastic over the top. And there would be just rows and rows and rows of containers of food that they would have to manage. And they would all share in this, these Amish communities. What do you think? You think this is going to be a wave of the future? Think people are going to be doing the victory gardens again?
Absolutely. They absolutely will be, because you aren't going to be able to afford to eat. And the people who are going to be hurt the worst are going to be people who are retired on fixed incomes, because fixed incomes are not going to match lockstep with the food prices. The next people who are going to be hit the worst are people who are on salary. I was just in a Lyft with a guy from Lyft driver from, and he was from Venezuela. And I said, tell me what's going on there. And he said, yeah, the people who have a job, it just doesn't make sense anymore to go to work, because they can't keep up with the cost of living. There's no way that they can keep up with the cost of living. So, you know, anybody with a job is it just doesn't work. And that's going to start to become abundantly apparent to people. And I'm really appreciative of what you're doing and everybody who's listening today, because you're on the forefront of this, and you've got a really good opportunity right now to prepare and adapt and adjust and be able to get through this, you know, with some semblance of happiness, right?
Yeah, I think if you're able to eat, you'll be happy. So Marjorie, tell us about powerhourfood.com. When people go there and they click, what are they going to see? How do they sign up?
Yeah, that's where you sign up, and it's free. And I have a webinar. You'll have 72 hours to watch it, and I'll go through the current world situation on the food supply and why it's absolutely urgent that you start growing your own food now. That's only the first little bit of it. And then the next part, I just go into all into solution. And again, I go through that three-part system in much more detail, like what does that chicken coop look like? How much time per day is this going to take? How do you feed them? And then also, how do you begin to think about feeding them without ever going to a feed store? Because when the grocery stores are boarded up, the feed stores aren't going to be open either. And then at the end, we have a Q&A time, and it's just a really great, it condenses 20 years of figuring out how do you take somebody who knows nothing, maybe they're out of shape or older, and we're in a grid-down situation, and how do you get them where they're producing lots of food in the shortest period of time possible? That's what the webinar is all about.
Okay, and in the meantime, you have a website, Grow Your Own, it's Grow Your Own Groceries.
That leads to the same webinar. I recommend people go to Power Hour Food. You know, that'll be a good site for them to go to, and that's where you register, and it's free. Once you register, we also send you like five things, and one is that free compost movie, which is so funny, and another one is how to feed your chickens for free. You know, how do you get free chicken feed? There's a couple of them.
That's real important.
What they are.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's nothing like eating those fresh eggs, you know.
Yeah, and then I think we have an ebook on 50 free fertilizers, how to make your own fertilizers. So lots of good stuff there, and that just comes free with the whole thing is free, honestly. When you do the webinar, we will make you an offer. I have written a book called The Grow System, published by Penguin Random House, and then a year's worth of training that would have you be able to implement all this and much more, because there's a zillion different ways to grow food. I really recommend you start with the first three because those are the basics. Those are going to be the quickest, and they're going to produce the most with the least amount of time. So I really recommend that. But, yeah, that's at powerhourfood.com, and love to see you there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we appreciate you, Marjorie Wildcroft, taking your time out to educate us because this is important. If we didn't light a fire under you in this past hour, well, I don't know what to tell you. Just go to powerhourfood.com, sign up, and learn more. That's all I can say. Dave Krieger with you. We'll be back tomorrow. We're out of time today, but hey, in the meantime, God loves you. You know that? God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, New Mana Food Storage, to name just just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.